Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, AEW are reportedly extremely concerned about COVID-19 affecting upcoming shows.
WWE allegedly planned on having Karrion Kross lose again on Raw this week.
There was a huge turn on last night's NXT, leading to a big takeover match.
And it's been confirmed Samoa Joe will return to the wrestling ring at TakeOver. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the news.
All right. Just when you thought we were out of the woods, just when you thought we would never have to deal with the big bad virus, Cyrus the Virus, affecting wrestling shows in a negative way again, here we are. Delta variant is doing its thing currently in the United States, unfortunately. The CDC reintroduced mask guidelines for people who are indoors, advising you to wear a mask when you're inside, even if you've been fully vaccinated yesterday. And now we have a report here from Cassidy Haynes of Bodyslam.net, who's been on top of a lot of things recently regarding AEW and their kind of reaction to all of this. According to him, and this is a direct quote, the company are extremely concerned by what's going on and have begun internal discussions on what they might need to do if restrictions come back into play. Returning to Daly's Place in Jacksonville, which was of course AEW's home for the bulk of the pandemic, is indeed on the table. So two shows in particular are causing concern here, and understandably so when you learn what these shows are.
Yeah.
The first one is All Out, the big pay-per-view in Chicago, which might end up having CM Punk on it if he ends up signing. Understandably, if that has to get moved to Daly's Place, not good. And also, Arthur Ashe Stadium, the big New York City show, is said to be causing particular concern as well. They sold something like 16,000 tickets for that. It's another huge show, the Dynamite Grand Slam event for them. So, you know, when you're looking at that and the standard rank and file episode of Dynamite, obviously you're going to think, oh, that would not be good. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on. We've got a quote here from Cassidy's article saying, this is from a source, saying, ultimately, Tony has to make a decision about what is right for the talent, staff, and especially the fans, which is dead right. It's a fluid situation. It's a disappointing situation. But ultimately, when you look at that graph and you see the numbers kind of creeping up again, things have to be, you know, concerns have to be raised and everything else. So I'm glad to learn that AEW is taking steps already to plan for something that might happen just in case it does. But it still sucks, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's awful news to wake up to. It's not exactly surprising, like you say, Andy. I mean, if you just want an example, if you're over there in the States, look at what's happened here in England with the Delta variant. It's just torn through everyone. And yes, I know a lot of people are vaccinated or on their way to getting fully vaccinated. But let's not forget, in the midst of all this, just because you're vaccinated, it doesn't mean you're just immune, like you're Superman with bullets bouncing off you. I saw a great analogy today saying, well, it's like saying, oh, well, how come if I got vaccinated, I can still get ill? Well, it's like getting, you know, a hurty chest after being shot in it because you're wearing body armor. It only protects you to a certain extent. And not only that, but the developing variants, who knows what could happen next? Like, I'm not going to get into a big political discussion about COVID. I'll leave that to the comment section. But like you say, Andy, it is reassuring that AEW are taking these steps. They shouldn't just be blindly carrying on like, well, that's that sort of thing. We'll keep an eye on it. We hope, you know, obviously, that the vaccines and then things like that can aid in this. But understandable if plans have to change as a result of it all. But yeah, go on. wear a mask, get vaccinated. Really, really easy and straightforward. All right, let's talk a little bit about Karrion Kross. He won on Monday. I wasn't here, but I've caught up on it all. He got fed Keith Lee, poor bastard. But apparently, according to No Crap, Just Sean Ross Sapp of Vital Select, the original plan was to have the NXT champion lose again on this week's Raw. And the reason behind that not actually happening was Jeff Hardy tested positive for COVID. He was taken off the show. They put Keith Lee in his place and just buried him a little bit more. It's part of a bigger storyline. We all sort of knew that. But even so, it's maddening for people in NXT and it's jaw-dropping for casual fans like you and I, Andy, that they think this is a good idea for someone like Karrion Kross.
Yeah, it blows my mind that they could possibly think that introducing a guy with two consecutive losses to a guy who just lost to Veer, by the way, on main event is a good way to push and promote somebody who was previously undefeated. It's you can get down a hole with this WWE booking stuff, but I think the important thing to remember sometimes, and I say this quite often, is that Vince McMahon isn't trying to book a wrestling promotion, he's trying to book a content company. So we can point at these things, and rightly, I believe, say that that's crap booking. But he doesn't care at the end of the day, and it's not going to change. In Nick Khan's words, we don't use that word around here, that word being wrestling. So, yeah, I mean, they can't book for a crap, but they're not trying to. But, yeah, I mean, the question that comes into my mind now is, what do they think of Keith Lee if this guy was being up for two consecutive losses and then Lee came in and ate defeat as well? But...
Do you want to know my conspiracy theory about this, Andy? You know, we're always talking about the Monday Night Raw scripts being ripped up and changed at the last second. I think it's all got a bit of a muddle. It's, you know, 5-2 before the show starts, and they're getting all the scripts together, and someone's mixed the papers up, and the booking of Reginald has been mixed up with a book for Karrion Kross, because given the title and having beat everybody is what Reginald's apparently doing, whilst Karrion Kross gets beaten in under 2 minutes by Jeff Hardy. Bonkers.
I would like to see Karrion Kross try to do some of those flips, admittedly.
Oh, that would be
good. That would be good entertainment. Oh. Keith Lee could probably do them if he was put in that role, because he's ridiculously agile. But we're going to move on. We're going to stop talking about Karrion Kross's crap-ass booking. And instead, we're going to move over to last night's episode of NXT. The biggest news story coming out of that is the turn. Kairi Sane turning on Raquel Gonzalez. There was a big in-ring promo. They made a whole deal about it. Kai was particularly good in all of this, hyping her partner up, her longtime ally up, saying she's the best women's wrestler in NXT history, name-dropping Charlotte Flair, Asuka, a bunch of other people. She's better than them all. But the key line for me was, for as long as I'm by Raquel's side, she will never lose the belt. And a minute later, she wasn't by Raquel's side. Dakota Kai kicked her down, turned on her ally. You'd imagine that this is a Gonzalez face turn, posed with the belt, and now the match is scheduled for TakeOver 36 on the 22nd of August, that SummerSlam weekend. Like you said on the pre-chat we had before coming on the air, we're not on the air, before recording here, something a lot of people saw coming.
Yeah.
But that's not always a bad thing, is it?
No, exactly. I think this is something that Raquel Gonzalez needs as well. Been iffy having her as champion. So I think it's fair to say, I think most NXT fans would admit that, despite how brilliant and dominant she has been. She needs to work across someone like Dakota Kai, who's just sensational and arguably deserves the belt for what she's done in NXT over the last few years. I probably would anticipate her title retention for Raquel Gonzalez unless she's been moved up to the main roster. But yeah, everyone can see it coming. That doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's the best story they can do in that women's division for the world title. And yeah, just a wonderful, you know, setup, like you say, Andy, of like, as long as you've got me by your side, you're untouchable. Psych! Base. That's just that entire segment shrunk down to 3 seconds, effectively. But very excited to see where they go next with this. And it wasn't the only match added to TakeOver on last night's NXT. We sort of already knew this in advance. They taped a couple of the shows because they're on Sci-Fi because of the Olympics. It is going to be Samoa Joe versus a very dominant, unstoppable champion, some might say, NXT champion Karrion Kross. Samoa Joe will return to the wrestling ring. His last match was back in February of 2020. But William Regal, very pissed off William Regal, gave Joe what he wanted. Joe resigned as a sort of behind-the-scenes official figure, got properly signed as a wrestler. And yes, was confirmed as Karrion Kross's opponent for the 22nd of August, TakeOver 36. They flip reversed it, of course. SummerSlam's on the Saturday, TakeOver's on the Sunday. It's going to be a great weekend, Andy.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed. Good stuff going on across the board here. I think SummerSlam in particular is shaping up to be just like a WrestleMania level show, isn't it? With all the Cenas and your Goldbergs and everyone else. I know everyone doesn't like Uncle Bill, but yeah, it's heating up at the right time. Let's just hope that now that we've got wrestling back and everything's starting to look exciting and everything else, that a global bastard doesn't rob all of that away from us.
Global bastard. Right, let's move on to your Twitter questions. At WhatCultureWWE, of course, if you want to get in touch with us. Senor Benja starts us off today. He says, Buenos dias, hashtag this is the news. Since the expected debuts of Brian and Punk are so close and the tag division is hit and great in AEW, can you see both of them debuting as a tag team and going for the tag belts? An interesting question this, Andy. We get asked this quite a lot. I would not see this coming, I'll give them that.
Yeah, I wouldn't go for that personally. I just think you're leaving so much money on, immediate money on the table as well, that you could be capitalizing on as singles wrestlers. I think that's what the real appeal is. I think that if you put them together in the tag division, it would certainly be a show of faith in that division. Like, hey, look how seriously we're taking this. Our two biggest stars, and they would be their two biggest stars if they came in, are in the tag division. But no, it's got to be singles runs for me. Maybe you could do, if you want to do a tag team thing with them, wait until the initial buzz and everything has worn off. Maybe a couple of years down the line. But for now, let's go solo, baby.
I just thought, I completely agree with you, Andy, there. Andy, obviously go and do single stuff with them. You can do tag stuff whenever you want. Them versus the Young Bucks is money now or in 5 years' time, let's be perfectly honest. I was trying to think of a name for them then. And I'm like, okay, Punk, we all know what Punk's all about. And then you've got vegan Daniel Bryan. Cult of Broccoli? Just a thought. Let us know your thoughts in the comments. Second question today comes from James, a.k.a. Chunk on Twitter. Chunky Boy James. Great Twitter handle, that, James.
Excellent.
Says, do you see Matt Cardona interfering in the Jericho versus Gage match on Dynamite, thus ensuring Jericho wins, but also furthering his feud with Nick Gage? I've been out of the loop recently, but I did not miss the reaction to Matt Cardona over the weekend, Andy.
Matt Cardona did a tremendous job against Nick Gage for GCW. It was a great match and something. Look, if you've got the stomach for deathmatch wrestling, not everyone does. If you don't like it, fair enough. But if you're, you know, if you're into that kind of thing, you need to see that match. It was tremendous. As far as like an interference goes, I think that the alignments are a little bit too messed up for that to happen. Just because in GCW, Cardona is like the alpha heel. Nick Gage is the folk hero, he's the guy, he's that promotion's icon. Whereas in this storyline, at least in the match with Jericho, Nick Gage will be playing the heel. So it's a little bit screwed up, and I don't think they would go for it. However, I will say that this particular interference did pop into my head the other day as well, so I wouldn't be 100% surprised if it did happen.
Yeah, very intrigued to see how that goes down. That's tonight, isn't it? That's Fight for the Fallen, of course.
It is.
My days are all over the place. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. But I think you can also get around it by having a good back and forth contest with Gage and Jericho, and then Jericho defeats him, and Gage, the nice bloke that he is, goes to, you know, shake his hand, admit defeat. MJF turns on his own hired gun. Your storyline's right there as well. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Cardona shows up tonight, and we'll talk a little bit more about him in a second. Finally, though, final question today comes from Alex Bruegel. Hope I got your surname right there, Alex. I'm probably butchered it. He says, as I'm listening to This Is The News from today, I will be on my way to AEW Fight for the Fallen. It will be my first live show. Any advice for a first-time fan?
Just treat it like a rock concert or a comedy gig or whatever else you would go to. I think, like, a lot of people get hung up on how they should react at wrestling shows. And we see it online. People going, ah, you're too quiet, you're too loud, you're rebelling, all this. Screw all that shit. Go there. I swore. Sorry, editor. Screw all of that.
Nicholas is going to be pissed.
Sorry, Nicholas. Just go with the flow. Like, react organically. Express yourself how you're feeling in the moment. Don't worry about, like, people looking down on you or anything like that. If you want to be loud and everyone else is being loud, be loud. If you don't want to be loud, if you want to just sit there and take in the show, be quiet. Just enjoy it. Have fun, and man, that's a really great card to go to for your first show as well. I'm pretty jealous of that, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Andy summarised this best beforehand as well. Don't be a dick. Really easy advice, but good stuff. I would say because I've been caught out on this on many a wrestling show. Pace yourself with a drink. Whether it's alcoholic or not, just pace yourself, because once you break that seal, you do not want to be there. Right, we're half an hour before the main event. What do I go now? You don't want to miss anything, especially at a show like Fight for the Fallen. And also, make a sign. If you're on your way down, well, unless you're driving. Don't do it if you're driving a car right now. But if someone else is driving or you're on another form of transport, make a big sign. Make a big Simon Miller sign. But big Simon, give this an up sign, because I always love spotting them. So, or a big picture of me and Andy's heads. Either or. But yeah, just enjoy yourself. And like Andy said, don't be a dick. Right, final thing to wrap up today. Today's and finally, I mentioned Matt Cardona before. I want to give him another nod because, yes, he is the new GCW World Champion. And Andy, you've probably seen this. He's taking the belt to Disneyland. It's been a wild week for that championship belt. I mean, what a journey it's been on.
This is a great storyline. It's so good. Matt Cardona and GCW have done such a great job of presenting him as just the opposite of what that company is. It's so well done. And I honestly think this is one of the best things in wrestling at the moment. Shoutouts to Matt Cardona. He's crushing it. This rules.
Yeah, it looked like him and Chelsea Green having a lovely time there. And of course, as we all know, isn't Mickey Mouse and DK all day as well? So that'll be very interesting to see how this plays out going forward. Let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comment section down below. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and the Daddy Boys reviewing NXT and previewing AEW Dynamite Fight for the Fallen a little bit later on. Plus you can let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at...
You can follow me at Andy H. Murray, and the H today stands for, hey, rest in peace to Joey Jordison. I know this is a wrestling channel, but there's a huge crossover between wrestling fans and metal fans. And I know a lot of people watching this, Slipknot will have been a very important band, and maybe still are, for a lot of them, myself included. So really sad news overnight. 46 years old is no age at all. No. And it sucks. Rest in peace, Joey.
Yeah, awful news. Rest in peace. Thoughts go out to his friends and family, of course. Terrible thing to wake up to this morning right there, Andy. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilbur. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.